Don't read with us tonight. We're going to read some out of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. We're just going to read a few verses, a very familiar scripture. Most of you can quote it, probably. That's what we got, so you just bear with us. We're going to start with the 12th verse. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. That's all we're going to read. There's a lot in this, I know. And I know you've heard it preached on, no doubt, many a time down through the years. And I was sitting there thinking as we was singing some of the songs that we'll sing in songs over and over and over again. You know, after a while, you hear a song long enough, you can sing it without even looking. You'll learn it. I had some of them in that old church hymnal that I'm about no word for word. Sometimes it takes a little start to get me started, but then I can fall right in there with them. We're not going to change the message. I was sitting there thinking that while they were singing and the songs that they picked to sing, and your heart and your mind just goes back maybe a lot of different ways, and I was thinking, oh Lord, it seems here lately that I've been on a certain path in my preaching. And I'm not a series preacher. I can't do that. Let me say this, I think I can't do it. Maybe the Lord wants it that way. I don't know. So you bear with us. We had a thought tonight, and there's not anything in this world. I honestly believe this. You can study it out for yourself. And I've mentioned it two or three times here of late, that there's not a people in this land that God cares more for than His people. You'll find it in the Word of God. And I read it to you tonight. You've heard it preached on many a time. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, is that not what he said? If my people, which are called by my name, I'm going to be honest with you, just honest as I know how to be. The Lord has laid His people on my heart. I'm honest. Can't help it. You say, preacher, you're not worried about the world? The lost world, folks, have access to salvation. They do. But I'm going to be honest with you. Do you know where the door is? Do you know who the people of God is that has, my friend, the power to help draw the lost? Does it not? Does it not lie within mine and your power? Yes, it does. Brethren, there's more emphasis in the Word of God about God's people than they are anything else. He come to seek and to save that which was lost. But folks, He wrote the books unto His people tonight. Yes, He did. It puts a responsibility upon us. It most certainly does. Brethren, if we can't get a hold of God, if we can't keep the way straight, my friend, the world ain't got a hope tonight. No, they don't. The door's wide open. The river, my friend, that people so-called gonna dandle in after a while, brethren, I want you to know it runs right through the middle of the living church tonight. That's where the hope is. That's where the life is. But there's something about God's people that the Lord wanted every prophet in the land, my friend, to prophesy to. Did He not? You'll just have to take me out and hang me. Brethren, there ain't nothing I can do about, my friend, the burden that I have and what I see out of God's people. The Lord Himself, thank God, cares for His people. Does He not? Now, with God, there's unconditional love. They most certainly are. Unconditional love. Grace is unmerited favor. Yes, it is. But I'm going to be honest with you. He has put a condition of operation for the people of God tonight. Amen. Has He not? Brethren, Solomon had built this temple and he realized it wouldn't be nothing. Nothing. Except God's presence be in the midst. Brethren, sister, I want you to know tonight, that's exactly how I feel. Without God, we ain't got nothing, Steve. Absolutely nothing.
Amen. Brother, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't talking to my friends, some heathens. No, sir. Talking to people that know. Brethren, he told Solomon, he said, I'll hear him. He said, if my people. Is that not what he said?
Yeah.
If my people. You know what that word if is? It's on condition. Yes, sir. If. If you'll do this, I will do this. Is that what he said? But brethren, after he told them, he said, I'll hear you if my people will turn from their wicked ways. I'm not here tonight, my friend, to get on to you. I'm here tonight to tell you that God loves you and he wants to hear from you. He does. After he told them, he said, if my people turn their wicked ways and seek and pray, he says, then. Is that what he said? Then will I hear from heaven. That's what he said. I'll hear you. He said, and when I hear you, he said, I'll heal your land. And I'll forgive your sin. But he did not stop there. He did not. You know what he said? He said, my ears are attentive. I'm listening. I think he's still listening, Daniel.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Still listening. Who's he listening to? Brethren, his people tonight. They built that house for God, house of prayer, did they not? God wandered around in a tent. They moved him here and yonder. That got on David's heart, built him a house. He couldn't build it, but brethren, he got everything ready, including the pattern. Meant that much to him. And he charged his own son Solomon on what to do, brethren, and how to do it. Did he not? Brethren, it meant something to David that God had a house to dwell in. Yes, sir. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he said, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Listen, folks, it come right down to mine in your day. You all know, I love architectural work, I guess what you'd call it. I love to go in these cathedrals and find houses of God. I do. Now, I like to admire the beauty, and my hat's off to the people that done it. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. But God don't dwell in that house.
No.
That ain't the place of his rest.
Amen.
No, sir. We've got a beautiful building here, church. I want you to know that ain't where God's house is. Some may be probably shooting me before I'm done, but I'm going to praise what God give me. Listen. Brethren, there's something about God, and there's something about man, brethren, that they need fellowship, and God needs a resting place. Isaiah, read it. Heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you'll build me? Where is the place of my rest? He asked a question. Yes, sir. What did Jesus say when he was here? What did he say even to his own disciples? He said, you tear down this building. He said, I'll build her back in 3 days. 3 days. And that temple, he was talking about that temple going to be tore down. Yes, sir. But he wasn't going to build back that temple. That ain't where his rest is. He couldn't rest in it. He gives Solomon, my friend, a confirmation that he had put his name there and that his ear would be attentive if people would just pray. Amen. He said, if a stranger, he opened it up. It wasn't just for the Jew. Oh. If a stranger, is that not what he said? Listen, where is the place of my rest? He gives you the answer in the second verse of that chapter. You can go and read it, find it, 165th chapter maybe. It's 60-something, 62nd, 65th, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's on the right-hand side of the page. First call. Listen. Where is the place of my rest? In other words, where's the house you're going to build me? His hands had made everything. Yes, sir. Heaven was his throne. Earth was his footstool. What are we worried about him? He didn't have a resting place. You hear me? He did not have a resting place. And at that time, my friend, the temple was still standing.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir. I can't. He said, to this man will I look. To this man will I look. That be of a contrite spirit and a broken heart, and that trembleth at my word.
Yeah, place
in the Lord. You know where his resting place is? It's in the hearts of men.
Amen.
That's his home. That's his house. Whose house we are tonight.
Amen.
If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, he said, I will hear them. He still does. Does he not? He still does. I'm going to tell you something, folks. He's still in the house. Yes, he is. He's still in the house. What he wants from me and you, my friend, is for us to put all of our dependence upon him. Now, Isaiah said, if you be willing and obedient, you can eat the good of the land. If it's conditional, you can eat the good of the land. If what? You be willing and obedient. But he said, if you refuse and rebel, he said, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Preacher, I don't believe that. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I won't preach you 15 different ways. I won't preach you 15 different gods. No, sir. But folks, there's one way to glory and there's one way to destruction. And you're going one way. And if you're going the wrong way, you have opportunity to change it. Yes, you do. You have opportunity to change it. Yes, sir. I do not know. I do not know what the last day. I do not know what your last day is. Some of you might not know. Some of you may know. It saddens my heart, Jeff. It really does. It saddens my heart when I hear of men or women that's worked all their life and they come down to retirement and they find out they ain't going to get to retire.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Six weeks. Huh? 6 months? Who knows? Sister Opal Freeman, Brother J.O. Jarrett's daughter, active church member all her life, her husband as well. His name was Travis Freeman. Worked at Union Carbide down there in Cartersville. Been there 35, 36 years. Retired. 2 weeks after he retired, he got sick. Went to visit him in the hospital. Hadn't been in there a couple of weeks. 2 more weeks, we buried him. Hear me? Hear me? Sad. Sad. Isn't it sad? Sad. That a man work all his life, my friend, to retire, that he might be able to do just a little bit of something he enjoys, and then life is over. But listen, that's reality.
Yeah.
These things are real. I read in the obit column, my friend, they ain't just 80 and 90 year old people dying. 42, 35, 21. The aged ain't got a monopoly on it. No, sir. Do not. I don't know. I really don't. I'm glad I'm able to enjoy a little bit, thank God, after I've worked most of my life. Ain't you? You ought to be thankful for it. There's a lot of people, my friend, that have made themselves wealthy, and it's took every dime they had to stay healthy. You know it, and I do too. Reality. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You say, preacher, where'd all that come from? I ain't got a clue. Didn't cost you nothing. I want you to know and realize tonight that God never retires.
Amen.
You hear that?
Amen.
Always, what are they saying? They're saying a song. Central's never busy. Always on the line.
Yeah.
What does that mean? You can get a hold of him.
Yeah. Amen.
Get a hold of him. It might be 2 in the morning. It might be 3 in the morning. It might be 2 in the afternoon. It might be 3 in the afternoon. It might be midnight. It does not matter. When you've got a need, just get on the line tonight. Glory. You can get a hold. brethren. Brethren. And he is listening. Glory, thanks be to God.
He didn't quit listening after Solomon's day. You know that? You know what he said? He said, if ye or you love me, New Testament, what did it start with? If you love me, keep my commandments. I don't care whether you like them or not. Do you know that? When he gave the 10 unto Moses, folks, he didn't ask Moses what he thought about it. He told him what was going to be written, thank God. Give them to him. Yes, sir. Didn't ask Moses, my friend, would they work? No. Didn't ask him, my friend, would the group like it? You hear me? Does anything like that sound familiar today? Reckon what the group's going to say? Huh? That won't work. You ain't politically correct. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll just stay politically incorrect. Thank God if that's what it takes for me to be right with God.
Amen. Amen.
And I don't stand like a lot of this world does. And you don't either. If you're a child of God, you can't. Hell, you can't. You say, preacher, oh, you get too hard on us. I want you to realize something, folks. You're able to eat meat, thank God, swallow it tonight. Amen. Oh, I like good steak, don't you? I don't like one I have to gnaw on all the time. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know how the similarity of some of these messages I've been preaching, brethren, are tonight, but they're just going to be similar is all I can tell you.
That means it's good.
Huh? That's all I can tell you. They're just going to be similar. About like the old man went to the church and he preached repentance. Come back that night, preached repentance. Wednesday night, preached repentance. Sunday night, somebody asked him, said, when are you going to quit preaching on repentance? He said, when you repent. Glory! Hallelujah! Woo! 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 If is conditional. God's love is unconditional. God's grace is unconditional. His mercy is unconditional. But I'll promise you one thing, if you ever get anything out of God, it's going to come from you tonight.
Amen.
Is that not right? Why did he tell them here? Did you know, I don't know which way to go, just to be honest with you. Did you know that God did not hold Moses accountable for breaking them two stones? He didn't charge him. Look it up. He had to go back. I've always said this, my friend, that second trip was better than that first one. Preacher, how can you say that?
When he come off that mountain second time, they couldn't look at him. He had to wear a veil. He got something, thank God, he didn't get the first time. Yes, sir. But God didn't charge Moses with anything, any evil doing at all. Only thing God charged against Moses, he said he was faithful in all his house. But he charged Moses one thing. Did he not? Because Moses would not glorify him in the midst of the people. Amen. Speak to that rock instead of smite it. Mm-hmm. He still got water.
Yeah.
I've always said that. He still got water, but it cost him.
Yeah.
But God didn't hate him. Did he? He didn't hate him. Brought him up on the mountain, Daniel. Did he not? When it was all said and done, showed him. Yeah. Showed him everything. Thank God. And he died. The Bible says the Lord buried him.
Yeah.
Ain't that what it says?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. You just live for God and you see if things don't get better after a while. Yes, sir. I'm going to be honest with you. It get pretty good in this life. Yes, sir. God don't hate his people. Never has. Might not like the way we're doing sometimes. If you love me, keep my commandments. Conditional. That little word if. Conditional. It's an agreement. Whether you'll have it or not, it's an agreement. I look at things a lot different, I guess. Some of y'all know, I deliver automobiles, customers, and wherever. And I'll get the customers a lot of times, and I'll open up that paper, and I have to do all the paperwork. And they'll get to asking questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? What does this mean? And some of them in there, the agreement. Well, I don't understand that. I say, it's the agreement with you and the dealership. It's not with me. I could not tell you what was discussed or what was said. It's an agreement between you and them. Read it. It tells right there what's in the agreement. Is that what y'all agreed on?
Yeah.
I have to discuss that quite often. But listen, something that is conditional is an agreement. And to have an agreement, my friend, they've got to be more than one party involved. I've had a lot of people tell me that they hated God for what he done in their life. They felt like that. They felt like that. They felt that God could have changed things. Huh? That God could. Do you know that? These folks, he said, if the heavens were shut up, that there be no rain, he said, if they just call on me, he said, I'll send them rain. Is that what he said? You go and read over in the Old Testament over about Elijah, and Elijah prayed that it might not rain these years. He didn't number them. He said it might not rain these years. And the Bible says it did not rain for the space of 3 years and 6 months. It didn't rain. Now that prayer affected Elijah as much as it did anybody.
Yeah.
His brook dried up. God sent him to the brook. Did he not? This brook dried up. The Lord sent him down there another place. Did he not? Didn't send him down there to the king's palace, folks. Didn't send him down there, my friend, to somebody that had just loads and loads of goods. They didn't have it. Matter of fact, they only had what was on the table. Is that not right? She done went to the meal barrel. She done found out they wouldn't no more. She emptied it. She told him, she said, not enough. He said, just go bake me a little cake. Mm-hmm. Is that not right? Listen, God knows how to fill a meal barrel.
Amen.
He may not run it over, but thank God he knows how to not let it run out.
Amen.
Yes, sir. There was an agreement. Whether you believe it or not, he told Elijah, he said, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Yes, sir. Had to be an agreement there somewhere. Preacher, she wasn't aware of it. She become aware of it.
Yeah.
Did she not? The agreement, yes. The agreement, my friend, panned out. People, we are God's people. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I think the Lord cares as much for you, if not more, than he does anybody else. When you read that word, you'll find out. I said something a while ago, and the truth of it is, that book was written to the children of Israel, Old Testament, more so than it was to us. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's things in that Old Testament, thank God, that will apply today.
Amen.
They will.
Amen.
They'll apply. They are beneficial. The Scripture teaches us that the Old Testament is a schoolmaster unto the new. God found his people in sin. He found his people a wandering and they are following other gods. Come a day, he cut it off. He cut it off. He sent no more prophets, no more prophecy, no more word. Nothing was spoken other than what had been spoken. Don't go and say, Lord was dead. He ain't dead. Never has been. But brethren, he had said all he is going to say to that group of people and that generation. And in the fullness of time, God sent his son. Yes, sir. For redemption, folks, it wasn't going to be the old. You hear me? It wasn't going to be the old. It's the reason that the Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. Read it. Since then men, what? Press into it. The gospel is preached and men press into it. There's something to be said about that word press. I ain't got time. Got too much. If, listen, he's still writing and he's still preaching and he's still bringing the gospel to the people that he started with in the beginning. To his own.
Amen.
That's where he come. But listen, the plan, you know what the plan was? The plan wasn't just for the Jew. He was going to bring that Gentile in.
Amen. Amen.
He was going to. Brethren, he did. He brought them in. He said, it's just like you took a wild olive branch and you grafted it into the tame. Yes, sir. That's exactly what happened. He cut off them old edges, them old branches, them that's dry, and he burnt them, done away with them. And brethren, he started him a new people. A Jew and a Gentile.
Amen.
A Greek and a barbarian. A Scythian. Go and read them. Yes, sir. His own people had the oracles. In other words, they had the commandments. They had heard the prophecies. They knew what was coming or should have known. But they're so busy running after other gods. Mm-hmm. Were they not? Listen, it still got God's attention that his own people turned him away. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as did receive him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Listen. When he finished, my friend, you go into the book of Acts and you'll find that the gospel was fixing to be spread. Not just the gospel, the Holy Ghost was fixing to be spread. Yes, it was. That book, and you can read it, all the New Testament, my friends, is written to the people of God. I can prove it to you. Yes, sir. Preacher, I've had men to tell me, you probably have too, I've had men tell me they get never, they don't understand it. Well, I don't understand what I read. You know why they don't? What did the Ethiopians say? Huh? Philip found him over. Philip asked him, he said, understandest what thou readest? He said, How can I? Except some man show me. And he's reading out of the book of Isaiah. Folks, they didn't have the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Acts, Romans, Corinthians, any of them. Listen, I'll bring my remarks to a close. If you don't believe tonight, that little word if is all through here. It's all in the scripture. And the truth of it is, God's love and grace and mercy and all that God's got is unconditional. But I want you to know, if you ever receive it, it comes on condition.
Yeah.
But listen, why is it that you can come to the house of God and you might not have been the last few days exactly where you felt like you wanted to be or to be? And you come in dragging your tail because you think that God's against you and there ain't no way under God's heaven he's going to bless you. Listen. And something happens in the midst of the service, and he just pours all he's got out upon you. Huh? How much does he love you? How much does he think of you? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can live in the past all you want to live. I'm not going to live there.
Amen.
He wrote that scripture and he wrote those things to give to us, my friend, that we might move forward in our journey.
Amen.
I can't help how many days I got left. I can't worry about, my friend, how much time the Lord's going to leave me here. I can't worry about the things I can or cannot do. I'd worry myself sick. You will too. You get to looking around, my friend. If I was going on hereditary, I've done outlived my dad, my granddad, my uncles. Age-wise. Already. I don't consider myself too old. Yet I got a little age on me. But listen, God left this, and you can read in there if you want to, all you want to, and you won't never find in there where he told you to back up.
Amen.
To go back, to look back. Matter of fact, there's scripture in there not to do so. And the scripture says in the New Testament that we are not of them that turn back, draw back. Is that not right? But we are to look forward. Paul, you look at Paul's writing. Folks, I ain't told you nothing but the truth tonight. That book's written to his people.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. You might not be, but I'm happy to be one of his people. Glory. Hallelujah. He knows me, thank God, by my name. And I ain't talking about Randy Jackson. But he knows me. Daniel, I'm glad he does.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I give you what I have. Preacher, you need to get off this roll. You're just going to have to pray, though, I know. I can't go down the road except the Lord go with me anyway. Can't do it. You get up sometimes. You know the thing about pastoring? The thing about evangelism is that you can get in, get out, run on down the road. Don't have to meet them people no more. It's a fact. It's a fact. Let a man come in and revive on Buddy. He preaches the pants off everybody. Then he's gone. But the pastor, my friend, you know what happens? You know. Lord, give him a message to the congregation. And sometimes we go home just like a little old whoop puppy.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. Hanging our head low. I've done it. I'm going to say something tonight. I'm boasting. I can't help it. I ain't going home tonight. Sad. Broken hearted. I'm going to tell you something. Sunday morning, my heart was yearning, hurting. I'd have moved. I mean, I would have moved. But I couldn't move for him. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord spoke to me on the way home. You know what he done? He encouraged me. Yes. Your pastor needs encouragement sometimes. Yeah. You know why? Because he has to come back.
Yeah.
And he has to come back and preach another message. Mm-hmm. Right to the group of people that he loves the most.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Can't help it. It's just the truth.
Yeah.
Huh? I ain't going home sad face. No, sir. I'm glad the Lord come with me.
Amen. 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 Well, sometimes we come looking for the Lord to be here when we ought to have brought him with us. Anybody got anything?